This is what they say. Here is celebrating religious backgrounds. This is what they say. This is this guy, Father Rudy Flanagan. There are three main prophetic religions are Judaism, Christianity, and Islam. In other words, each of these religions have a person sent by God, capital G, a prophet, to establish their particular religion. These originally are divinely inspired. That's what they're saying now. And because of this, that they're sent from God, capital G, divinely inspired, they should be respected by everyone. One's religion is very sacred, personal thing. The Jewish people have a number of rituals throughout the years beside Passover, including Rosh Hashanah, the second high holiday of the year, and Yom Kippur, the holiest day of Judaism. Christians have a number of sacred days, Easter and Good Friday. Wait a minute here. Stop right there. You all know about Easter, right? Acts chapter 12, I think you know. That Easter in Acts 12:4 is the pagan holiday. Yeah, I get that. You know, I showed you that King James Bible is absolutely perfect because it also says Passover them. And if you look at the verse above it, that's after days of unleavened bread. That's a great show you how that book is correct and that Easter is the pagan day. People know that. So I'm well careful. It slips out, but it's Resurrection Day. You know, I know Passover Day. So they call Easter. Hey, they may have pagan day and Good Friday. Believers and baptizers are now out there on Good Friday. Ain't that something funny? If you ask them, show me from Scripture, it can be 3 days. But remember, that's their days. I mean, yeah, I like the resurrection. The Lord died, but they turn them into religious days. Anyways, with many other feast days throughout the year. Finally, Muslims have Ramadan, which is a very solemn and sacred month for our Muslim brothers and sisters. They fast all day. And after sundown, there's a very celebratory meal for all the participants. These are times each day devout Muslims to pray in their mosque, just as Christians do as they attend daily mass. To me, nothing is more sacred than religious beliefs and the various traditions of religions. There is only one God, but there are a number of ways to worship this God of ours. All places of worship should be respected and treasured as places where people experience the presence of the Almighty. Keep on keeping on. What does that mean? That like Biden saying, go get them, whatever he said. No, he said, let's get them. You know, what's that mean? Hey, point being, end times, folks, what's going on? Trying to get everyone together. Right? I mean, we could see it coming in paper, news articles. Hey, you hear New Age, we're all worshiping the same God. Ways to get there, you know? And you know what, though? That's why it's important to say something. Why? By not saying nothing, you're guilty. If they're doing that, hey, say something. Say we have charity in there, of course, you know? You know, but all going on, and then they got over here celebrating Good Friday around the world. A bunch of baloney stuff. In fact, they have it in Jerusalem at they have a place in Jerusalem called the Church of the Holy Sepulchre. I've been there. Brother Hoffman preached right outside there. Preaching there. You know, that's not where the Lord died. They made it a big money-making deal. So, you know, just something that you see what's coming on. We're in last days. That's my subject. Kind of see what's going on. Okay. Israel prepares to welcome Jews leaving Ukraine and Russian threat. You'd see the Lord in all the stuff here. Israel authorities are helping to prepare for thousands of Jews who may be fleeing Ukraine because of the Russian troops invading Ukraine. I'll stop right there for a minute. Side note. Something don't smell right to me. I don't know about you, but I mean, for example, the news media is pushing this thing, right? And if they're pushing it, it can't be all good. Whatever they believe, I'm the opposite. Maybe the weather's okay in a few sports stores, but if they're pushing this thing, I somehow have question and pause. You know, an old guy says the most dangerous thing in our country is something here called the free press. And that's true. The free press, they've started all the wars by propaganda. You get that, you know, right? They're warmongers. Anyway, sorry, get off on a tangent there. Israel Prime Minister Nafti Bennett, that's who's now, encourages Israel living Ukrainians to leave as soon as possible. So they're doing that. Now, hang on. World War One got the land back to Israel. You understand that? And World War II got the Jews back to the land. God used those wars to get the land back and the people back. If you want to read a great book, Dr. Ruckman wrote it. It's called Israel's Greatest Piece of Dirt, I think it's called. So I got a signed copy from him. Okay, you know? It says it's his best work. You look at something in Scripture, two things. People ask me if the Bible is true. I'll give them one or two words. The Jews. Look at the Jews. What other nation had stable to put together and have a heritage? You know, go look at your heritage. Hey, you can go back to Moab, to back here to the beginning. They have the heritage Jews. And God's preserved them all this time. You can't deny that. They know where the lineage is. They have the Matthew. They go right back to where they started. Nothing like that. That's God. And the other thing is prophecy, right? Prophecy. It's a minute on here before we get to the lesson. It's always good because you know why? I like practical things from the Scripture so you can actually use them. Great to have doctrine. I'm a major doctrine. But the doctrine is there to give us application so we can use and talk to folks. And Revelation 19:10, I hope I had this right verse here. Revelation 19:10. It says, and I fell at his feet and worshiped him. This is Paul writing this out, Paul being John. And he said unto me, see thou do it now. I am thy fellow servant and of thy brethren that have the testimony of Jesus. And it says, worship God. Continue sentence, for the testimony of Jesus is the spirit of prophecy. So prophecy. If you ask, well, is the Bible true? I go, prophecy and the Jews. And if you know what though? When you speak truth like this, you know what happens? You know what though? Just let the Lord work in. They know it's true. When you hear truth, you go, no, that's right. They, a lot of mistakes, you can see in their eyes, yeah, something about what he said is true. No doubt about it. In Matthew, Marcus went down. It's a good one. Let me give you an example. Because you want to give them an example, you bring it to what? The Scripture, right? So here in Matthew chapter 20, Jesus Christ speaking says, and Jesus going up to Jerusalem, took the 12 disciples apart in the way and said unto them. So here is Jesus Christ taking his disciples, you know, and here's what he said. Behold, I go up to Jerusalem, and the Son of Man shall be betrayed unto the chief priests and unto the scribes, and shall condemn him to death, and shall deliver him to the Gentiles, and mock him, and scourge him, and crucify him, and the third day rise again. There's 10 right there. Mark that down. There's 10 prophecies right there in two verses right there. That's pretty good. I think, and I have it in my book here, I can dig it out if you want me later. A mathematician, I got his name in here and reference. He did a probability study. What are the odds of all 48 prophecies coming true exactly like they were? It's like, Tim Dumas born this day. Here's what he's going to do. Here's what he's going to be for a living. Here's how he's going to die. Exactly. And I think it's one with 52 zeros behind it. I guess there's not that many atoms in the universe, apparently. It's an impossibility. And with one in like 25 zeros, it's already mathematically a certainty thing. So it's so far off the charts. And that's important. Why? Because God knew something ahead of time and be able to predict it. Prophecy. So that's real important. You get in this thing here as you see what's happening around today in the news media. Now, one last thing before I get to the lesson. This is all tied into my lesson here. A Michigan high school student, this is relatively new news, was suspended for calling homosexuality a sin. And his name is David Stout. He's a junior at Plainfield High School in Plainwell, Michigan. And he was suspended because there's a policy at school called the cyberbullying harassment policy. And Stout, through, says he was only humbly sharing his Christian beliefs, that the conversation was private. And by the way, if you go to this website, they actually have the text messages that they're getting them for, so you can see what they say. It's kind of a joke. Stout is a member of a football team, and the band Great Lakes Justice Center is representing the family. My client's religious speech and beliefs should be treated with tolerance and respect. He's trying to use their, you know, tell them, hey, said David Kalmar. He's the counsel for this young lad. Public schools may not violate the Constitution. See what they're trying to do? They have the Constitution, and that's why they don't teach it anymore in school. You know why? If you don't know it, how can you stand on it? I mean, you go look at a 1955 government test. We couldn't pass it. You got to know everything about the government. You know why? So you know what you stand. They've removed that, so everyone thinks, oh, we're all tolerant. It's real sneaky here. Public schools may not violate the Constitution to enforce heckler's veto of student speech. He has the right to express his opinion in accordance with his sincerity, held religious beliefs, without vindication or punishment from the government for holding to those beliefs. The controversy began in April 2021 when Stout was involved in an off-campus text. Hey, they're monitoring your text. Ain't that something there? A conversation with a friend who asked him his thoughts about a classmate who has been gay. Plaintiff stated that the Bible teaches, so he says, you can read the text. Plaintiff stated that the Bible teaches that homosexual conduct is a sin and in the Christian context that God created only two biological genders, male and female, says the lawsuit. Plaintiff stated that while homosexual conduct is a sin, however, everyone is a sinner due to the free will choices and would pray for them to repent to follow Jesus. That's a pretty good testimony, right? He also showed that extend his love toward them because God commanded it as Jesus died on the cross for them and extend his love towards them that they would accept it. Stout's friend was offended by his beliefs. Oh, heaven forbid. You know, in the old days, I don't get bothered much by police officers. They come by, we're out in the street, and they go, well, someone call and offend them. I'm offended about the liquor sign right there and the music. Go shut them down. I always turn it around, right? You got turn it around and go, what are you gonna do? Yeah, you shut them down, I'll leave. They're blasting their rock music and out there drinking around. Yeah, no, I don't like that music going over there. I don't like that liquor sign over there. It offends me. What are you gonna do? It's just turn it around gracefully. And if you do, with authority and power, almost every time situation's gone. Anyways, that's all free stuff. Okay. Blah 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 blah. Stout's friend offended them. The conversation and incident, okay, blah blah blah. He also shared them with, okay. Stout's friend was offended by the beliefs and eventually ended the conversation. That conversation and an incident at the band camp formed the basis of a school suspension. So that text and this next thing got him suspended. Here's what he did here. It's kind of sad. The band camp episode took place in July of 21 when two freshman band members began telling inappropriate and immature racial and homophobic jokes, loud enough for all to hear. Stout politically affirmed that he needed to stop. He's telling them to stop. When they continued, he said, according to lawsuit, enough, you need to stop. School officials blamed Stout jokes because he was a section leader. So here he is, tell them to stop. And because you were the leader, they didn't stop. We're going to get you for that. They're getting for what you don't say. The lawsuit says, meanwhile, the band director alleged that Stout must stop all further conversations regarding this religious belief with other students because if the student overheard them, they might feel offended and unsafe, the suit says. I mean, this is only suspension, but remember, it's a start. The camel gets their eyes in that tent, and watch out. Stout asked the court to declare the school's actions unconstitutional and order school to clear his record. Plaintiff private text and chat messages and conversation voicing his personal and religious opinions on homosexual conduct were rooted in heroic religious doctrine, the suit. So scripture. And His dad is supporting him. It's crazy. So there's a war going on in Ukraine around there. And, you know, people getting hurt. But there's also war right here, where you're at right here. Right in the start of the school. It's all over. You got to make sure, you know, we're soldiers. We're in a warfare. Amen. Just make sure you think, oh, yeah, I live in America. They're bombing here. Hey, there's a warfare going on all over the place. Always trying. That's why you got to be ready. Always giving a hope with the hope alive within you. Isaiah 57:15. For thus say the high and lofty one, that's Jesus Christ, that inhabited eternity. The only word eternity means right there, right? One time eternity there, speaking of God, whose name is holy. Right? I mean, what's the name of God? A bunch of names. Holy. Oh, holy Bible. God, Bible means book. God's book. Get it? God's book. Holy. Right? There you know. So that's our defense. God's book. God gave us holy Bible. God. Book. God gave God book. No. So with the war going on, always look for a chance to witness truth in there. The saying, I think, quoted by Bob Jones Sr. says, war is God's judgment on sin down here, and hell is God's judgment on sin hereafter. That's good. Remember that, folks. Me and Gene went to Gettysburg. You know, we went on the on a tour over there. And it's pretty solemn where your own nation was at war. People don't realize that they're at war and people are killing, shooting brothers and brothers. It was a terrible thing, civil war. Even like in the Old Testament, you know, the tribes fighting. And near the end, there were two guys that were drove around in buses and things and did the tour. And I quoted that verse right there. You know, say that again. I quoted it again. And both of them together, and says, that's true. They both said the exact same thing. I was so like, can we use that? Well, hey, it's free country. Use whatever you want. They like that because they after seeing it every day and kind of living it through it again by demonstrating it at the thing, they used it. Hopefully they are. But that's true. And it is true. Okay. Anyways, now we're getting to our lesson that I, the last 25 minutes I have. Okay. What we've been doing here is spending time here in 2 Timothy on the last days, what's happening, last days, 2 Timothy, Paul. This is kind of what we call a swan song. I mean, people look, what's the last thing someone says? You know, sum it up. So here he is, and is that word last days again, I think it appears 8 times in Scripture. 7 odd times refer to the last days in kind of tribulation. This is the only time here. It's last days of the church age. That's important. So here God is giving you insights, Paul, at what's happening in the last days of the church. And these things, these characteristics are not only upon the believers, they're on unbelievers. Remember, a lot of times and many times, sins, the believer could do all kinds of sins. That's important. They can do all kinds of things. The sister back here had a book from a Catholic book about if you commit suicide, according to Catholic Church, commit suicide, you're damned to hell. Now, I mean, we don't know that ain't true. A believer can commit suicide. A believer could get so depressed and such out of a state of mind that, you know what, though, I'm going to kill myself, whatever, however it is. Hey, they're still saying to God. I mean, it's not based on a condition, how you die in a state. It's based on the Lord Jesus Christ if you're on Calvary's cross. Amen? I mean, Samson, he kind of killed himself, right? He's one of the named as one of the people of faith there in Hebrews. So, you know, we understand all that. It's just, you know, it sounds bad. Oh, you commit suicide. It's a mortal sin. I remember that. It's a mortal sin. I used to carry a thing in my pocket. I still have it at home just for show you how ridiculous it was being Catholic. I would say, my mother, my confidence. I got like $282, 282 days off in purgatory. Don't ask me how they came with 200, but yeah, amen. Yeah, and I thought about that. That's a possibility. Yep, yeah. Jump off a cliff. that was me, you know. You know, amen. No, same the Saint Bartholomew massacre, Spanish Inquisition. If you read Fox Book of Martyrs, some of those books, what they did is phenomenally horrendic. It's like reading the things that Hitler did in the camps. It's just unbelievable. People forget about that. Matter of fact, I'll show you about that. I went to a Catholic Bible study for 4 or 5 weeks. And the reason I went is I was trying to be a witness. I think I mentioned this. I was walking my kids around my bikes, and there was a kid walking there with a rosary. His name was Brian. And I walked past, and the Lord goes, talk to him. I go, oh, Lord, come on. I haven't found my kids. Talk to him. The point makes sense of the Lord. I go, oh, okay. So I kind of tie my shoe here. He's walking by. I go, hey, how you doing? Like you know, I've got a conversation up here. Obviously, he's Catholic. Anyways, long story short, hey, invited me to a Bible study right in Westmont. So me, my brother, and Richard Gardner went. We had a great time. I mean, he got so heated, they would be putting the lights on and off, the conversation, on and off. Hey, because we're going back and forth trying to stand on our point. But point being is he gave me a book. He gave me two books. And one book was for all the born-again people, how you answer them. And one question that book was, I still have it at home, I believe somewhere, is what do you say when these born-againers, they call them, ask about Spanish Inquisition, St. Bartholomew Massacre, all the things that we've done. How do you answer that? So they're giving you questions or answers because that comes across that. He goes, I remember, so-and-so, pious so-and-so in 1903 made a prayer and forgave everyone, so don't worry about it. That's the answer. And that's with the book. I'm like, wait a minute, how about spending some dough with families back then? Or institution. You know, so we forgave them back here. That's it. That's their answer. I mean, okay. Oh, nothing. Okay, I guess okay. And then they gave me another book. You know what they were against? All the chick tracks. That entire book, seriously, an entire book with the chick tracks. And they have their drawings right on the book. And they, well, how do you answer them? And they have their little saying. You know what the answer every time was? This is what we say, and we say trumps the Bible. Every time. So here's the book. So that's what you want to give away, chick tracks. If they don't like, hey, if your church won't give them out, they're wrong. They hate those chick tracks. Mark my word, right? Baptist churches hate them. They can't stand them. You know why? There's something going on with those things. So if adultery stuff. Okay. We're working through our list here. And we came here to false accusers. Right here in the list here, it's found in verse 3. This phrase is found only two times in Scripture. Here, and in Titus 2:3. So let's look at both times, the context, because, you know, this is, you know, look at why God put this in here. Titus 2:1-3. Gives you more meaning here, but gives you a list here. But speak thou the things which become sound doctrine, that the aged man be sober, grave, temperate, sound in faith and charity and patience. The aged woman likewise, stop here for a minute, there's that aged, that means mature. Remember the Christian walk is like growing, you know, physically, baby, little children, child, young man, fathers, elder, aged, physically, right? You should be growing the same way spiritually. An aged saint is someone that obviously is mature in doctrine, right? We have a bunch of little children teaching babies in church today, Baptist churches. They're little children, and the babies are wearing diapers, not even changing. That's what we go, doctrinally speaking. That's what's going on today. And remember, last days. So you see that happening. Anyways, likewise, that they be in behavior as becometh holiness, not false accusers, not given to much wine, teachers of good things. This is what I call natural relationship skill. Don't accuse someone without talking to them first. That makes sense? I was talking to Brother Paul. Sometimes I say nothing. Don't accuse someone of talking to them first. Now look at 1 Timothy 3:11. Even so must their wives be graves, not slanderous, sober, faithful in all things. You know, I'd say this, ladies, not maybe here, but this kind of a of a more of a sin of a lady. I have to say that. Don't get mad. I just, the way it is, you know, and men have their problems, but this is kind of like this here, you know, you're saying things and accusing things of things that should not be said. There's an old saying, you know, how do you communicate? Telegraph, telephone, tell a woman, all that stuff. I mean, sometimes you're saying things you shouldn't. That's just part. That's what God has here. He shows you honesty, you know, so you got to understand that. And what motivates this is generally jealousy and envy. Nobody likes to be, like I've got scripture on this, nobody likes to be falsely accused of an event, situation, characteristic that they're not. You understand that? I mean, if that ever happened to you, that's a bad deal. Now, in Matthew 5:11, it says, "Blessed are ye when men shall revile you and persecute you and shall say all manner of evil against you falsely for my sake." I understand this is a kingdom thing, but those principles are there. You know, where you're for the Lord's sake, watching you for the Lord's sake. And our best example here is the Lord Jesus Christ. When you see the scriptures of Paul, you know, how can someone do that? You look back on the Lord Jesus Christ. He went through all those things right there. He became flesh and go, hey, no one could do it. Well, here's someone that did. God, man, and he went through all these things. So, hey, if the Lord can do it and did all that there, hey, we can do it. And so Paul explains the, you know, the doctrine behind it, and Jesus Christ is the example there, without a doubt. So you have a great example, the Lord Jesus Christ. And it says here in Luke 23:10, "And the chief priests and scribes stood and vehemently accused him." You know why? Jealousy and envy. Who can stand before envy? It says here, Matthew 7:27, "And when he was accused, the chief priests and elders, he answered nothing." Sometimes, just they want a reaction out of you a lot of times. Don't react sometimes to these things. You know why? That's what gets their boat going. They want a reaction. Get there, you know? "And the chief priests accused him of many things, and he answered nothing." Have you ever been falsely accused of something? Hey, don't like it? Don't do it to someone else. That's why God put it here. All that going on today, the news media is the king of it, right? You know, all these things you're accusing people of they don't like, right? It says here, "A good name is rather be chosen than great riches and loving favor rather than silver and gold." Now, let me tell you a little. Yes, sir. Anyway, those things sometimes are put on our heart because we have a conscience. God gave us a conscience. All those truths are right there. I even know Bible. Oh, boy, I believe that because it was Bible. So we'll get saved. All the bad stuff leaves, but the good stuff that was still good that the Lord's put in our heart, we still keep that, right? I mean, you may get saved. You may like iced tea and football. You're not throwing iced tea and football. You still like it, but it's different. It's a way of the things that weren't so good, you know, bad, you know? True story. When I was going to my old church in Woodridge, I lived around the corner. And a kid, young kid, maybe, you know, late 20s, he'd come to church, you know, hey, yeah, come to church, find believers and fellowship. And he was kind of down and out. And my pastor says, "Hey, you know what, though? This kid's coming to church. If you have any work for him or anything, you know, put word out there, try to help him out, get some work." And I go, "Yeah, I got some work for him." So I had him come to my house and do work around my house. I think I had windows, whatever it was, you know, pay him some money, you know, help the guy out, you know. And he lived in an apartment. Sometimes I'd pick him up at church, of the apartments, and he's trying to get back on his feet. And I had him over and another brother over. And that morning, I know I had my billfold right next to my cabinet there, you know, my billfold. And then throughout the day, they're here. I come in, I look back in the bedroom, and my billfold's gone. I go, "Man, someone took my billfold. I know it was there." I can't remember the day at 60s, but in the 30s I could, you know? So for that I could forget. That I couldn't forget, especially cash, you know? So I go, "Oh, man, one of these guys took my billfold." And my brother that I knew for a long time, I didn't even do, but I'm thinking, this guy here. So I go, "Hey, man, my billfold's missing." I felt bad even asking, you know? And he looked at me and goes, "Tim, I know it looks bad, but I didn't do it. I know it looks bad. I know." I mean, he's telling me, and I'm kind of believing, but it was missing. And if you want, I want to leave, I can. If you want me to leave, you know, I can tell you so humble about it. And I felt so bad. And so I brought him back home. And that was a Saturday. Next day at church, He didn't show up. Everyone there. I told the pastor, "Oh, I'm so sorry, Tim. He took that." Blah blah blah. He first anything. I went home that day, just kind of to pondered, and I looked behind my bill, my drawer, and it fell behind there. It was there. And I falsely accused this guy. I'll be honest with you. It's still bothering me today. I prayed for this guy. I went back to apartments, looked all around. I wanted to give the guy a hug. I said, "I'm sorry I did that to you." I hear this guy, I falsely accused him, and it wasn't with malice, but I could see, here he was trying to get back on his feet again, going to church, and I falsely accused his brethren. So I've been on the side there without knowing it. A lot of people do that without knowing because they listen to bad media, you know what I mean, you know? And I pray for the guy. In glory, I'm sure he's saved. Saved guy, I'll give a big hug. But I have prayed for him many times. Even writing this year, I still feel bad about it. Because, you know, I could tell he looked at me and goes, "Brother, I know it looks bad, but I didn't do it," right in the eye, you know? And I could say, he's probably telling me the truth, you know? So, you know, I've been on that side, and it's a bad deal, you know? So God put it here, and what's why here, it's going on by the droves, media and things. We not do it, amen? Okay, I covered incontinent last time. It was a short one. Next two are kind of interesting. I hope I get through them a little bit. This word fierce. This is a very interesting word here. Found here in verse 3. It says fierce. Now, the word sits right there without a prerequisite. I'll show you in a minute. And it's used in the list. Let's try to define this word. And the best way to define the word is with the scripture. Amen? Go back to the scripture. We don't need any Greek or Hebrew. If you simply take the word and look backwards at first mention, you'll find the word out. That's just the Bible way of understanding how to study the scriptures for yourself. Amen? And so let's go back here to Genesis 49:7. Let's look at some things here. And I think you'll find some things very interesting here. Genesis 49:7. The context of this is we have Jacob, and this is a time where Jacob is obviously talking to his brothers. You know, obviously they caused lots of trouble with Joseph and everything, you know. And so the context is he's talking to his brothers, and it says here in verse 7, by the way, first mention this word, it says, "Cursed be the anger, for it was fierce." By the way, see the context? Anger was fierce. Every time there's a preposition for it, it's adjective, you know, fierce anger, fierce person, you know, and their wrath, for it was cruel. As I will divide Jacob and scatter them, kind of prophesizing. Now, what's interesting here is look at verse 1. "And Jacob called unto his sons and said, gather yourselves together that I may tell you that which shall be you in the last days." See that there? So here he is kind of prophesying about the scriptures. God will show you something here in the Old Testament, but it's a fulfillment of things later on. You understand that? It's in type, okay? So now he's talking about the last days. So he's talking about last days was happening to his kids, but also it's happening to Israel in the last days. So it's first mention of last days of Israel as the last days of the church. So you can see the similarities here. Israel was a divided nation in the Old Testament and will be divided in tribulation, like the church here is divided kind of in the last days today. You understand that, folks? The church is divided and has problems. Amen? All sorts of isms and schisms, right? I mean, you could have, in fact, what I do for kind of teaching people, I go, think about that. We're believers, but there's, you know, there's Lutherans and Methodists and Baptists and Southern Baptists. All kinds of shoots, right? There are division. And a lot of times, divisions could cause, you know, some strife, right? Right? And that's what's happening in the last days. That's why God put it here. Well, research that word. It's the last days for the church, and there's all kinds of divisions, sorts of bad teachings, folks, and they get angry about it. And advise people, tell folks that this is a good way of sound doctrine, is understanding this principle here. And if you look at that the context here, in verse 3 of Timothy, that's the key element of this chapter. It's about sound doctrine. If you look at verse number 10 in 2 Timothy chapter 3, let me quickly pull it up here. Here it is. But thou shalt fully know my doctrine. See it? So God is talking about doctrine. That's why it's important last days. It divided the folks like it did divide Israel back there. Sound a doctrine. In verse 16, obviously, all scripture is given by information of God is proper for doctrine. You see that? Verse 4, verse 2, preach the word, be in season. Preach the word, be instant, in season, out of season. Reprove, rebuke, exhort with all long-suffering and doctrine. You see that? 41 times this word appears. And every time, 28 times it's followed or context is wrath or anger. Here's the only time you're sitting out there in the list. So you research everything out there. It's negative every time out of 40 times. Obviously, it's a negative to church. There's this problem going on, a fierceness in the church over doctrine. The other times, it's fierce lion, countenance, wind, people, you know, devils, but it's negative. So that's what's happening because the context there is doctrine. We got this fierce thing going on, and it's dividing the saints. And though it ought not. If they had this book down, right, there wouldn't be that problem, right? I think one guy said, hey, there's no problem. Everyone believe like me, there'd be no problem, right? So I just believe like me, you know, and then no one has the vision, you know, but make sure you have good doctrine. And I tell people, I go, how you get good doctrine, the standard procedure is the perfect word of God, right? The perfect word of God, authorized version. And you divide 2 Timothy 2:15 in there. So rightly divide the perfect word of God. It equals sound doctrine. Every single ism, schism, problem is someone is not doing that. Bank on it. This word means this. Oh, you know what that means? Ding, 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 ding. Problem. You're telling you something in Matthew 24. And Matthew 24 is kind of the second coming of for Israel, not for the church. And we're going tribulation. There's always something like that. So that's your key. If you understand that and lay down the foundation, and you talk to somebody, oh, look what you did here. You took that context and brought it into the church, and you got bad teaching, and you developed this thing called Calvinism or hyper-Calvinism or whatever it is. So that's your time. And talk to believers, they can be kind of fierce about it. Really fierce about it, you know? So that's important that you understand that here, that word just sits there, you know, fierce. What does it mean? You look back on it, Genesis there, first mention there, last days, what happened there, was it happening to Israel, prophesied, same thing like in us in the church today. That's why I put that there. You search out a little bit, like, well, that's why it's there. If you read it, what does it mean? The Bible gives you the answer for that, okay? All right. And the little time I have left, I'm going to start this last one. We've only got a few minutes. This is a good one, by the way. Despisers of those that are good. Now, that's a good one here. And the scripture gives us a lot of benefit. And that's why I covered that story over there about David Stout here I read earlier. Why did they go after him? They despise that he has some truth and some goodness. See, I know. I mean, that's a fulfillment. That's why you've seen this here. Hey, here's a guy, you know, standing for truth, and they can't stand it. Despising those that are good. I mean, what we've done today is, some of us, a criminal, they're defending the criminal. They're giving the criminal the rights, and the victim is like, well, but the victim in this matter? Complete opposite. You see that there? It's like, you know, the gospel and Acts, they turn the world upside down, and now the devil's trying to get back the other way. It's an amazing thing. It's just flipping. And somewhere along the line there, the believers who have the truth just didn't say anything. You know, offend somebody or filthy lucre's sake, hirelings. But was the hirelings out there, right? On that road, you know. Hirelings. I can't say anything. My income would go down. Oh, faithless person, you know. So that's going on today. So that's why I read that story there. The guy in high school that obviously tried to stand for righteousness against sin and the scripture. And boom. Now, obviously, again, our classic example of this is the Lord Jesus Christ. You always can find something. You go back to the Gospels and look how the Lord Jesus Christ walked and seen that he too had these problems. So if he can do it, he was a man. Remember, that's why he was a God manifested in man. So he was all man, but all God. But he was able to endure those temptations and problems. And so you can look at that. The other example you have is Daniel. Daniel, good example. The presidents and princes, Daniel 6:4, sought to find occasion against Daniel concerning the kingdom, but they could find none occasion, no fault. For as much as he was faithful, neither was any error or fault found in him. Now, you know why people look for that? Here's the problem. Because they're wicked. See, and righteousness, when you say righteous, they know it's true, but it points back at them. That's always the case. You know, it's all, you know, because they're the ones that are wicked. And they try to go against people that are just, that have righteousness. They despise them that are good. Get that? Now, another example here. Joseph, Genesis. I have time for this. I'm going to maybe get it next time. I'm going to spend some time here next time. I'll get set up here. This is Genesis, Daniel, verses 39, chapter 39, 4:10. I'm going to stop here. But this is, we're picking up next week, shall be here, Lord willing, to look at what happened to him and the details of what the Lord put him in. You know, it's kind of said that Daniel, or it's kind of said that Joseph overcame the flesh. Noah overcame the world, and Job overcame the devil. The world, the flesh, and devil. Those are your three examples of people that, you know, hey, because that's what we kind of fight. The world, the flesh, and the devil. And God gave us examples of their lives, how they overcame them. And okay, if they can do it, we can do it. A lot of times, we need an example. We don't want to be a trailblazer, do we? On a bad source. I mean, yeah, I don't want to trailblaze that thing, but someone else already done it for you, because you know why? Trailblazers can be kind of a little risky. Okay, so I'll stop here. Any questions, comments, anything that I covered here today? Anyone add to this or anything? Okay, all right. Father in heaven, we look at these scriptures here in the last days of the church, and it's nice about it is that we see it right around us, all through the place. That means our time is drawn nigh to your return. That's exciting. That's always the answer to the question is, the Lord is coming back for his church. Praise the Lord, the blessed hope, the blood, the book, and the blessed hope. Always good, the book, the blood. We go through the blood and the blessed hope, the great appearing of our great God and Savior, Jesus Christ. That could be eminently anytime, maybe even today. So I just pray, we think about these things that were covered today. I pray for Pastor Hoffman, who's either here or making his way here, that you'd be able to just be able to be with him in a special way. And I pray we're open to hear what he may have to say to us. And thank you for the opportunity for that, Father. I just pray for the folks that are here and they remember their prayer requests, and that somehow something maybe said today would seek into their hearts and they remember these things, and that you would be glorified. Remember that thy word says it. And you know that the word and Jesus Christ and truth are all tied together. So we thank you for that, Father. We ask this in the Lord Jesus Christ's name. Amen.